if possible, call the administration committee meeting Wednesday, October 21st, or we have Alderman Clocher, Alderman Transier, Alderman Peterson, and myself present, as well as Bart Olson, Rob Robertson, Aaron Lord is remote, and we have wireless communicator in person. Bart, since we have the Alderman in person, do we need to stay in the remote?
We don't.
Then things are, okay. So with that, any citizens' comments, or anybody out there on Zoom, that you may not?
No, there's nobody else.
So no citizens' comments, we have minutes for approval for September 16th, 2020, any comments on those?
No.
Through those as presented. And in 2020-58, budget report for September 2020.
So the $315,000 municipal sales tax on that first page is what we had reported two city council meetings ago. So that is, I believe it's June consumer sales, if I remember correctly, the ones that set a record and were unexpectedly high. And then we've already reported on actually what will show up in the October report. That was one that was, you know, still 5% up year over year. So we're going to get in depth with the revenues Tuesday at City Council, talking about use tax, income tax, sales tax performance, and then what regions around us are doing. Because we have access to everybody's sales tax, so I can actually look and see how we're doing comparatively to everybody else. So that's going to be kind of the overview after we get through the CAFR presentation on Tuesday. This is just dive into kind of where we've been and what we've seen on the revenues. Oh, that's Mike. Working from home. Nice. All right.
I just muted him, so I can hear. I'm muted.
Oh, that's great. And other than that, there wasn't anything else that I saw in there that I wanted to note. But if anybody has any questions, we can take them.
Anybody have any other questions or comments on that one?
No.
Beginning fund balance, and this is unaudited, but it will become audited after next council meeting when we do the audit presentations, at $12,704,300. Year-to-date revenues of $15,806,795. Year-to-date expenses of $10,443,527, for projected ending fund balance of $18,067,568.
Thank you, Rob. Any questions, comments on that? That one we move to City Council, so consent, no one objects. All right. And then 2020-60 website report for September 2020.
The report is in your packet. We are seeing the consistent trend of our website visits going down. However, our social media visits are ever increasing. So we have continually people liking our page. The police department page has really taken off into something pretty major. So we get tons of hits, especially for big news items. I know the missing child was one of the largest that we've ever seen in our history. So with that, we are pushing out more information to social media with links for our website if people want to go to that. But historically now they've been just messaging us through social media too, and then we provide the website link directly to them. So I've seen that trend coming forward, and I think it will be more prevalent in the future as well. So if you have any other questions, feel free to ask.
Thank you, Aaron. Anybody have any comments or questions on that? All right, that's informational for us. Next item is the Admin 2020-61 Annual Treasurer's Report.
Once again, this is the annual treasurer's report. You see in the beginning there's a summary statement of operations that shows beginning fund balance, revenues, expenditures, transfers in, transfers out, and ending fund balance. And these numbers will coincide with the CAFR. We should have all got linked to that yesterday. But again, we'll be presenting that in the October 27th meeting. And then it just lists all the receipts or revenues for all the various funds of the city. And then it breaks down payroll into $25,000 buckets. And from there, it gives all the vendor disbursements over $2,500 for fiscal year 2020. And pursuant to state statute, this report will be printed in the, I think it's the campaign where I heard at the beginning, it was already on some paper of local renown by the end of the month.
Questions or comments? This is information, of course. All right, thank you, Rob. Admin 2020-62, City Liability Insurance and Workman's Comp Insurance Renewal.
So there's a nice summary memo from Rob in the packet that describes what we did for marketing our insurance packages through our broker, Mike Alicia, who's on the call, and I'll turn it over to him in a second. And in general, we did not go out to competitive bid this year because we wanted to get it done earlier, and some of the early feedback he had received was that the market was going haywire with everything going on in the world and everything that was expected to come down the pike here in the next month or so. So we bid it out with our existing carrier. We had anticipated that the lowest we would see would be a 10% increase or so, and we do budget for like an 8% year-over-year increase, and the renewal did come back at a 2.5% aggregate increase, which is wonderful. So with that, I'll let Mike get into the details, if you can hear me. Mike?
Yes, Mark, are you able to hear me?
Yep.
Okay, thank you very much for your time this evening. As Bart mentioned, we started very early this year. Thank you very much to your staff for getting us the renewal exceptionally early. The goal was to get this presented and wrapped up before the election. I do not think the election is going to be good for the insurance market. We know this because we saw quite a bit of unfortunate destruction from the May George Floyd, and that translated into immediate rate increases on property and liability. While that was all happening, a number of markets have left the excess marketplace, which those supply high demand created just very, very high pricing. So the goal again was to get this done before the election, lock it in. Even at just last week, there's a number of carriers that have been pulling their, reducing their limits, specific to law enforcement, just due to the low climate and comfort for law enforcement throughout the nation. It's absolutely unfortunate that this is all going on. So the good news is we beat the market. But with that, the market was even harder last year. The city does have some claims on its books. And the goal was, you know, we've marketed your account for a number of years in a row. And by far, Glatfelter has had the most comprehensive and cost-effective program available to the United City of Yorkville. Knowing this, you know, we wanted to work with them. So they came back with some direction that they were going to come in at roughly about 10%. Went back to the board, to Bart and his staff to run that by them to see if that was okay. They provided a quote, and, you know, if we didn't like the quote, we would have enough time. Hello?
Yep.
Okay, sorry. I feel like I was echoing or something. So that was the basis of why we didn't market it, and it worked out and proved correct that the city's pricing came in under the renewal estimate. Just I'll go over some changes quickly. Your property values went up about 4% from 51.7 million to 53.6 million. All your other limits remain the same, a million per occurrence, 3 million aggregate on the GL. Your auto went 7 units to 89 units. Public officials, law enforcement, those limits remain the same at $1 million. You have a nice cyber $1 million limit, and you have a very healthy $10 million excess umbrella. With regards to the workers' compensation, your payrolls are slightly increasing from 7.5 million to 7.6, roughly 1%. The city's premium is decreasing from 186, 521 to 184, 125, or 1.3% decrease for workers' compensation. The reason for the decrease were a number of your rates decreased as well that helped you along. And this year, with regards to your workers' compensation, the Illinois Public Risk Fund is providing the United City of Yorkville with a $20,937 safety grant this year, which is about $5,000 more than you did than you had last year. So that's fantastic. Overall, the city's renewal premium is slightly increasing from 385,020 to 394,514 or 2.47%, much lower than the 10% we anticipated. Right now, a good renewal for municipals are just about 10%. That's actually a great renewal. And you guys are coming in significantly less than that. So I'm very, very happy with the results. And that concludes my presentation.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate that. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Any further discussion? It's very good that we're overall lower. We're overall only 2.5% higher. Let me guess that was lower with the same coverage. So
yes.
We're in a very good position. I appreciate staff and you, Mike, for working on this in a time that all expectations were not good for what these numbers would be.
Yeah, if we waited 2 weeks and didn't get this in, these numbers would be much higher.
I think we were expecting potentially 10 to 13% increases. So 2.5%, we can take that.
Are we locked in now?
If we approve this,
then it's okay. But he's holding it until, so yes, there's no other.
Yep, if we get this forwarded, we're going to get it approved and it will be set up in the press.
Okay.
All right. We are good to move this to City Council?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you very much for the hard work on this one. It's much appreciated.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Have a good evening.
Too.
All right. Moving on to admin 2020-63, closure of Illinois Fund MFT accounts.
And this is just a further consolidation of our bank accounts, similar in concept to the park and rec consolidation that we discussed several months ago. We would just combine the cash of the motor fuel tax account, commingled with the rest of the city's money, similar to what we do for water, sewer, park and rec, and pretty much every other fund. Eliminate a bank rec, so there's one less bank rec we have to do, which will save staff time. And also just eliminate a lot of transfers back and forth that we have between MFT and the main account pertaining to accounts payable. Just like park and rec and every other fund, all MFT money will be tracked within the MFT fund, so revenues will still be accounted for there, as well as the expenditures out of the MFT fund, which is Fund 15.
Was there a reason that it was separated? I mean, because obviously if you can co-mingle it, then...
Just past practice. It's the way the city has always done it. But there's no legal requirement to do so, and I did verify that with IDOT. They confirmed it. They just want to be sure that, you know, you account for everything in the fund, which obviously we would continue to do.
It'll still be itemized and stuff.
Correct. Yeah.
Some of these accounts did have requirements in the past. Not MFT, but some of them have requirements that they need to be separate. But a lot of that's changed. Like you said, I have legal consultant on this one, and we are good to consolidate, so
okay.
Makes a lot of sense.
Sure.
Any questions or comments?
Thanks for help.
Thank you. All right, we'll take this to City Council. Any objection to consent on this one? All right. Thank you. have the 2020-64 meeting scheduled for 2021. The schedule is in the past. Anybody have any issues for next year? If we need to make changes, we'll make changes. So with that, I'll take that as approved. Thank you. Our last item on the agenda is admin 2020-65, staff return to work during COVID pandemic, policy, procedure, safety protocols, and full return to universal work. So this was added as a discussion. It's intended to kind of cover what we've been doing, what our policies have been, procedures that have actually been implemented, state regulations that we have in place, as well as planning for once we do come full-term or full-time in-person work, how's that going to be, what's going to happen. So I just want to have a discussion on that, see if anybody has ideas, see if our staff has had on this. Obviously, the numbers that we're seeing in the state, they're not trying to do the right direction. It's not a bad thing to have a discussion and have this out in front of everybody so we kind of can be prepared should the numbers go correctly. So, Bart, if you would kind of first talk us through some of the policies.
Yeah, so I will say that the police department, by nature of their rule-based operations and requirements, have more written procedures and policies and more formal than we do on our side. So everything that we've put out has been either via email, it's been somewhat informal, it's been verbal, but in general, and this came up a few months ago when we had one employee test positive, haven't had any since. Is, you know, reports of them when they come in. Don't come in if you're not feeling well, if you think it's borderline, you know, stay home if you have a lot of sick time. There's additionally, through the federal government, there's COVID time, you know, that's off books, or off our books anyway. And, you know, use it. Make sure that supervisors are checking in with their employees on a daily basis, see how they're doing, not just from a physical perspective, but mental. You know, how's stress being handled, how's e-learning going, those types of things. And so we've, you know, uncovered issues along the way. You know, somebody contacts somebody else, or, you know, they were at a party when somebody else has symptoms or positive. And none of it has risen to the level of quarantine. We've had various staff members, be suggested by their own physicians to go get tested. And all those have come back negative. And that's been, you know, I would say on average we're having one of those type issues like every 3 or 4 weeks, you know, pops up somebody. And so that's actually been working really well, just us informally making sure that we're touching base with the supervisors frequently and they know that. So that's kind of from the personnel side. From a practice side, you know, obviously we've got desks spaced out. Got barriers installed. We have implemented contact tracing forms, so all of our employees should be filling out, like, hey, I was within 6 feet of this person, but I was wearing a mask. Or I was at an event, and there were 1,000 people there, or 100 people there, or whatever, but we were 6 feet away, and, you know, generally we're all talking, but we all have masks on. Or, you know, I had to do this, I couldn't wear a mask when I did it, I was with somebody for a few minutes, blah, blah, blah. So, we've been doing that such that if we ever do have an issue, we can easily pull those and then cross-reference it with people's locations and times. In the building, really since the start of the pandemic, we've had either a skeleton crew or there have been times early on in the pandemic where we had nobody in the building physically and everybody was working remotely. Demand and customer service points obviously are way down. Everybody seems to want to pay their bill online, or they're okay with dropping it off in a Dropbox, either outside of the building or inside the building. People don't want change. You know, they want to just like say, hey, here's this, I just want to give it to somebody, you know, please process it type of thing. We post emails, phone numbers on the outside of the building, inside of the building, so if somebody walks in and they have a question for the building department, they can do that. Our side of the building has been open from 8 to noon and from like 1 to 4:30 pretty much every day for the past, it's been at least a month now, maybe even more, as a regularly scheduled thing. We do that so that We've got an hour where somebody, the receptionist can go eat lunch, and then they wipe down the high touch points in the common areas, and then they can open back up to the public. So we're, you know, cleaning those at least once a day. And so the reason we're doing that is since we're skeleton crew, like we have two people that kind of serve as receptionists. And in a normal scenario, it'd be somebody answering the phones, somebody handling walk-ins, and they rotate depending on when the calls come in or people walk in. So now we've said, we don't want you two working together because you work in close physical proximity. Even if they were wearing a mask all day, they would be within 10 feet of each other for, you know, 8 hours. We say one of you is going to work from home, one of you is going to work here, we transfer calls, we set up work with them, and so that if somebody gets sick, we've got somebody else to come in. So we've been doing that kind of with every function within the city, so accounting, finance, planning issues, clerk's office. We always have at least one supervisor between me, Aaron, Rob, or Lisa in the building, so if something comes up, you know, they can escalate it right away. But in general, we're averaging between 5 and 10 customers in the building on a normal day on our side. And some of those are just people that, you know, wander over here from the police department. Sometimes there are people that, you know, think they can turn in a building permit, and they can drop it off. It's just there's nobody to answer an immediate question. You got to call somebody on the phone. And for the most part, there hasn't really been any service delivery issues that I can tell. The building department not being open yet to the public is actually working to their benefit because they're able to schedule out their day a lot easier. And since their inspections are way up, they're able to somewhat manage kind of their flow of work from the start of the day to the end of the day and get more accomplished than if they were to say, I'm going to do 6 inspections today, and then somebody walks in and it takes up a whole day. Now we know when that's going to happen because we say, we can't serve you today, we can do it tomorrow at noon or whatever the time is, and then it's set up and they can kind of manage it there. So from a building improvement standpoint, we talked about those cure funds that were available. We did find out that our police department salaries in bulk are eligible for those cure funds. So all the things that we were planning on doing and then submitting to the state for reimbursement, you know, HVAC improvements, air purification, that type of thing. We can still do them, it's just, we're probably just going to be receiving a bulk disbursement of about $780,000 at some point or another in exchange for the qualification of our police salaries during the pandemic. So we'll have to make some decisions there, but the things that we've been doing that we are currently planning, putting UV lights in the HVAC system. We're getting mobile air purification systems that will cycle the air in a room through a purification system. Thermometers, so when you walk in the building, it's like mounted to the wall. That way, if you've got an event, you can just like step in front of this, check your temperature, great, you're free to go, and you can move forward. We're separating off areas. So people that have cubicles, they make like a plexiglass divider on wheels. You set it in front of the opening, and that way they've got a little bit of privacy. That's kind of like a sneeze guard for somebody walking by. We are going to probably partition off one of the offices in the back. So like Lisa and Aaron share kind of the larger area. Probably put up some drywall and some windows and a door, so that way they can both be in the office at the same time if need be, and they're not sharing the same airspace. So little things like that. The only thing that we know for sure that is going to be over $25,000 and will require city council approval is likely to be like classroom style UV light systems. So they're disinfectants. The school districts have been using them to pretty good success. You basically have your class, and when you're ready to change it over, everybody clears out of the room, you reel in this UV light machine, it spreads UV light throughout the entire room, nobody can be in there when it's occurring. Takes 15 minutes, and then it's supposed to kill, you know, viruses and stuff that are on surfaces. So we think that we need 3 or 4 of those. We're going to do that, take that to city council here at some point or another. We're still getting the specs on that. So there's a large group of things like that that aren't necessary to say if we don't get these things, we can never go back to full steam or full staff, because that depends on what's happening, you know, in the region. But there are things that, in the interim, if we do them, it makes the staff that has to be in the building from time to time a little safer, and then it just makes it more likely that we'll open up at some point to a more normal level if case loads keep going down. Let's see what else did I write down. That's everything I can think of off the top of my head as to what we're doing. So the, and I don't want to gloss over this whole Cures thing, because if we take in that money, $784,000 in exchange for police, I mean, we've already spent probably $50,000 to $100,000 on cleaning supplies and PPE over the past 6 months. But then that gives you another $600,000 that we can say, okay, we're going to do X, Y, and Z, and it's going to cost us, I don't know, $250,000, and that leaves us whatever we, you know, haven't spent there, you know, free to use for whatever we want, because we've already qualified it through police salaries. So that's potentially a big deal for us in kind of offsetting some of our budget issues.
Now, those have restricted uses, though, for the CARES ones, those are...
So we're only going to get those CARE funds with an approved expenditure, which is the police salaries. So theoretically, once we've said, yeah, we've spent $784,000 on our police since March, and the state certifies that as acceptable, we get that money. Really, at that point, we've already qualified for it, and it's ours. And technically, it should just go to the police department, but then that frees up the police department money to go to something else.
Right, so $785,000 police salary is offset in a natural for general fund, because that was not expected on
police. Essentially, yeah.
So that's essentially what it is. That's good.
Yeah.
So there's quite a bit that's going to be left over $600,000 or so to deal with these type of issues. So I just want to have this discussion on, are there things that can be done, should be done, making sure that those who are in the office are taking care of, that we're doing what we're doing here, social distancing, and preparing for the ultimate when we can't be back to work. How is that going to work? How is it going to be safe? Are there things that need to be built out? You touched on something that you guys are planning to do for retrofit for buildings, so I don't know if anybody else has any thoughts with, you know, their experiences or what they would like to see or have more updates.
What do you have in place if there is an outbreak, if two or three or even one person tests positive here in the building? A judge just last week tested positive for here at the courthouse, and things have come to essentially a screeching halt. There are six judges, and only two are in the building.
Yeah.
What can you do to prevent that sort of thing from happening to your business and still go on without half the staff being stuck at home or even worse, 75%?
Yeah, I mean, that's been a concern since early March, and I think everybody internal to the organization realized that, you know, it's a problem for police, and it's a problem for public works guys, like especially the water crew. There's only a few people certified to run the entire water system. What happens to one of them? And, you know, the contingency plan there is if something really goes wrong, you know, other towns would pitch in to, you know, help us do what we need to do. But, you know, as far as the organization goes, that's why we immediately went to a skeleton crew. We were actually contemplating for a while, like with the water crew guys, like just sending them home. Like if they didn't have anything to do at work, that they couldn't be apart from people, like we would rather pay you almost to sit home than, you know, have everybody working together and get sick and then you're you know, really in a bad position. Ultimately, we didn't do that. We figured out enough things that could either be done at home for I think a week or two, but then after that it was just like everybody's going to start in a different location, we're going to do teleconferencing, you know, to figure out your plan for the day. The water guys especially are going to be you know, treated with kid gloves. It's like, no, you're not going to go work out and move these heavy branches with, you know, a group of guys. It's going to be, you know, you're going to go do something else by yourself for the day, or, you know, separate, and trying to prevent that from occurring. And if it occurs, you know, all you can do is basically lean on your doctors, the health department, which is what we did when we had an employee that tested positive. We said, here's the circumstances. What do you think? Do we need to shut down the building? Do we need to quarantine people? And they recommended no time. So, you know, we would certainly lean on them again and see what they have to say at that point. So.
We changed over the entire building over at Cabin Park.
We're talking about it internally. Like for this building, it's probably $10,000 or $15,000 to change over soap dispensers, toilets, and faucets. Jeez. No, a lot of them are on backlog too. Mm-hmm. So that's the other thing that we have to take into account.
And some of those faucets don't work very well anyway.
Right. They're touchful, but they don't work. So we're thinking about that. The thing is like, you know, we're going through like the, you know, the physical act of like, you know, wash your hands, you know, touching the soap dispenser and going back, like, you know, what kind of maintenance does that account for? Like, can you change batteries? How often are these things going to break down? Is it just going to result in everybody touching the faucet anyway? Like, is it worth that amount of money? So we're still thinking about that internally. But we probably will do soap dispensers. Those seem to be easier.
Yeah.
But the faucets and the toilets were unsure of.
The toilets I mean, you can buy just ahead.
Yep.
Can you put the little foot things on the bottom of the door so you don't touch the door handles? See those at like
a hole?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are a lot easier for.
Because then you wash your hands and then you gotta turn the faucet off. Unless you grab a paper towel and turn the faucet off. Then you gotta grab a paper towel over the door. I went to lunch today and the restaurant actually said use a paper towel to open the door. Mm-hmm. And they had a kick thing on the bottom of the door so that you were trying to eliminate touching things. It's kind of interesting.
Yep.
The whole different way.
Is Sam also working on a cure in your spare time?
Yeah, cure? Right on that.
Oh, a cure.
I know you're in the middle of an audit, but.
I'll have to dust out my electron microscope. Yeah, I know not much that comes out of this in terms of discussion, but it is good to have it for you. Yep. So, we have funds that are there, there are things that need to be done, we act on them, and you know, if the money touch on the water or something comes up, or we have an issue, you know, we do have the ability to go to our neighbors, whether it's just a common courtesy gas or if it's through our emergency declaration where we have to definitely have a proclamation.
Yep.
And then reach out for resources. We got many methods to do that. But that's like our worst case scenario. We have not had that at that point. So it sounds like we're doing what we need to be safe with this. And it's good to have staff in the office, I will say. You know, it sends a good sign that we are still doing business, conducting business, but it does not appear from anything that I hear that people are not getting services from any form.
Yeah. We've had a couple things pop up. People drop off plans or something, you know, and so we've had to intercept and change our policies from time to time. So, but it hasn't resulted in like a delayed inspection or anything or delayed plan review.
Yeah. And as long as we're having communication with the public,